I am thankful for the presence of each and every one of you that are here tonight. We do thank the Lord for a place like this that He's given us in this world, His church. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we can thank the Lord tonight. We have an assembly, a place that we can come into and gather out of this old troubled world for a little while and look to the things of the Lord that are recorded and penned down in the book that He's also preserved for us. He's given us His word in a written form in the Bible. And He moved men of old to pen them, these words down by inspiration of God. And we know these things are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That word perfect means we're complete. We have in the Word of God everything that we really stand in need of knowing here in this world. And we go to it as a light and a lamp unto our light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. And it's that which testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's what we need to keep in our minds and in our hearts. The psalmist says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, O God, in Psalm 19. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, O God, be acceptable in thy sight. And he calls the Lord there his strength and his redeemer. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And I believe tonight that's what we want. Let the words of my mouth. I know as a minister of the gospel, I want the words of my mouth to be acceptable in His sight. That's more important than being acceptable in your sight. I want it to be acceptable in your sight. I don't want my words to be that which you discount or you don't pay any attention to. But more importantly, I desire that what I say give honor and praise and glory to the Lord, and that it would be acceptable in His sight. Let the words of my mouth. You know, sometimes your words can be there, but your heart can be far from Him. You can be saying the right things. You can have lips that are moving, and from them are coming the words that men hearing them would consider to be acceptable. But we can hear men's words, but the Lord's eyes are in every place, aren't they? They're not only hearing what we say, but He knows what's in our heart. Let the meditation of my heart. And we're begging God there for both the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart to be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. And that He is my strength. And that means if I'm going to have words, He's my strength. So I've got to have strength to have them. They come from Him. And He is my Redeemer. He's the one who's bought and paid for me. And because of that, we have so many blessings that God has given us here in this world. And so many promises for that which is to come. And I hope tonight the Lord can just bless us to think about those things and to focus on that together. I guess tonight I'm going to be, if I am able to share with you what's been on my mind, I'm going to be speaking to myself more than anyone else. Preachers, though you may not know that, often do that. They preach more to themselves than they do anyone else. At least that's what I know I do. I need to be encouraged tonight. I need to understand who my strength is. I need to remember where my mind ought to be, where my thoughts ought to be. I want the words of my mouth to be accurate, but I want the meditation of my heart to be accurate as well. I want to be thinking about those things and speaking those things that give honor and glory and praise unto the Lord. If you don't know that already, I think you do. That's why you enjoy singing so much. Because those words that we speak to ourselves in when we sing, we speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, we make melody in our hearts unto the Lord. They are the words, many times, that come right from God's Word that speak those things that are acceptable in the sight of the Lord, and they cause our hearts, the inner man, to be stirred up about those things. Tonight you're here to get stirred up I hope you didn't come here to go to sleep. I hope you came here to be stirred up. And what I want to stir up is not the old outer man. And when the old outer man gets stirred up, you got a real mess going on. But that we might stir up your pure minds, that is the inner man. And the way that the inner man gets stirred up is when they hear the acceptable words of the Bible, of God's Word. That is the Word that testifies, the written Word, which becomes the preached Word that testifies of the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, and gives honor and praise and glory to Him. And then we are able to get our minds off the things of this old world and on the things of Almighty God, so that we're not discouraged and disheartened and depressed, but we're encouraged and uplifted and have our minds and thoughts on heavenly things and get our minds off the things of this world. And there's no better place to go to have that happen than the Bible. There's no better place. That's why this word has been given to us, that we might be perfect, that is complete. That we might get instruction. Tonight, the text is very familiar to you. It's one I've used many times. I feel impressed with it tonight. Philippians chapter 4, if you'll turn there with me, I'd like to read a few verses in your hearing. I'd like to begin at verse 4. We'll read down through verse 9. And if the Lord blesses us, maybe look at a few other places in the Scripture. But this passage of Scripture came on my mind as I was taking my walk this afternoon. I've been trying to make that part of my life, and that's a big adjustment for someone who hadn't walked a lot. Brother Jamie and I were blessed on Monday to walk from the bottom of Dickey's Ridge up to the First Overlook and then back. And I'm not bragging about that, but I'm just thankful that the Lord allowed me to be able to go, because I got to hear Brother Jamie, even though he was huffing and puffing every once in a while. I got to hear him preach from the bottom of Dickey's Ridge all the way up to the First Overlook. And that's basically, he said he was just talking, but I told Brother Jamie, I said, I've kind of figured you out. You call it preaching when they put you in the pulpit, and all the rest of the time you call it talking, but he's preaching all the time. And that is a big help, because it stirs up your pure mind by way of remembrance and keeps you thinking about the things that you really need to think about. We can spend a lot of time doing a lot of things. We can waste a lot of time certainly doing a lot of things. And sometimes we sit in front of the television and listen to the news, and we get discouraged and disheartened. And we go visit folks and we get discouraged and disheartened. And sometimes we communicate with folks and we get discouraged and get disheartened, and we can get really depressed in this old world. You can get depressed on the job. You can get depressed on the way home. You can get depressed in front of a television set. You can get depressed just by breathing air and living your life. You can get discouraged and downhearted. I remember John the Baptist, when he was in prison, he's even asking the Lord, "Art thou the Christ?" He's the one who baptized Jesus, and he got discouraged because he didn't understand the events that were taking place, and how that even though he was in a very bad place, God had never left him and was there all the time. But John had gotten discouraged and wasn't able to see that until he heard, I'm sure, the good news that Jesus sent as his disciples came back after speaking to Jesus. Jesus just simply said, "You go tell John again." Now, it isn't something John didn't know, but he wanted to tell him again. I remember preaching on that a long time ago, and I left out that word "again." And the good brethren reminded me when, you know, they used to do that with young preachers a lot. They would remind you pretty quick when you left out a word, especially an important word like that. And one of the brethren, I'm not sure whether it was Brother W.G., probably, but I don't know who it was, said, "Remember, the word "again" is there because that's very important. Go show John again these things." It wasn't something he didn't know. Tonight, I'm probably not going to tell y'all anything you don't already know. I like to think I might be able to, but I'm not concerned about that. I surely don't want to tell you something new, that's something not the truth, or something, I'm not looking for that. But if the Lord could just bless me tonight to share with God's little children the wonderful news that has made your heart glad in the past, that has stirred you and helped you when you were down and discouraged and depressed. If I could tell you again, just simply what John was told, go tell him again that the lame walk and the deaf hear and the blind see and all the poor have the gospel preached to them. Just tell him again. Listen, Jesus has never left us. He's with us tonight. He's with me tonight. He's with you tonight. He who has a love that goes in really four dimensions. I've been thinking all week about the four-dimensional love of God. And the Bible talks about the love of God in the sense of its length and its height and its breadth and its depth. And if I'm counting right, that's four. And we've got a God who's loved us with an everlasting love. That's how long His love has been. He's never not loved us. As long as He's been God, He has never changed. And He's always had a love for His people. And somebody said, explain that. No more than I can explain a God who inhabits eternity. Can I explain that? I just know that's the truth. Because God said, and we by faith can understand in our hearts, maybe in a limited degree now, one day we'll know it all together, and that'll be a glorious time. But His love has always been on us. And at your darkest moment, and it may have been one you've just had, God's love has never left you. Sometimes God's little children feel like I got outside of His love because I got in a bad state. You think maybe John the Baptist might have felt like I got out of His love because I'm in a bad state. And Jesus just said, oh, go tell John. Go tell John again. The one who baptized Jesus, you go tell him again. The one who came preaching, the kingdom of God is at hand. The one who said he must increase and I must decrease. The one who said, I am not worthy to unlatch his shoes. The one who's coming. The one who says, I must go down so that he might go up. You'd see, the Lord was right there. He didn't cause all those things to be. He didn't make that man Herod act in such an evil way. He wasn't the one who was at fault for that. That was the work of man. But I'm telling you, God's providential care never left John the Baptist. Do you believe it left John the Baptist? I don't. And I know this. The length of His love tells me God's love has never left him. And by the way, we're more than conquerors because of that. We're more than, and that word conquerors really means overcomer. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. There is therefore now no condemnation. And that's because of God's love. God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. Listen, I'll tell you, I can't talk about His love too much. And we're to rejoice. This text says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We're to rejoice in Him tonight. What are we to rejoice in? We're to rejoice, number one, and we can rejoice. Well, I won't know whether it's number one. It's a number. In His love, in His mercy, in His grace, in His salvation, in His being our strength, in His He being our Redeemer, in the fact that He made heaven for us, and the fact that He's here with us here on earth, and the fact that He will never leave us nor forsake us, and the promises of God, those exceedingly great and precious promises tonight, brethren, we have the Lord Jesus Christ to rejoice in. And if you say and think in your mind, and sometimes we do, I don't have anything to be happy about. I don't have any good news. I don't have any good report. You know, my body's breaking down. I'm getting older. I had the little fellow to one of the nurses. She was just trying to be nice, I know, but if Daddy could have heard it, he would have really loved it. She looked at me and she said, are you his brother? And I went like, no, ma'am, I'm not his brother. I said, but I would just give anything for him really to understand what you just said. Because he used to just love that whenever that was said. I even got to the point one time they said, which one's the daddy and which one's the son? He really loved that. And I thought the little sister that said that probably had a little eye problem, but you know, that was my thinking about that. I know that our old bodies are breaking down. I know that I could give you a list tonight of things that I wish were different that I could fix. I know of a lot of things that break my heart tonight that I need help with that I can't handle. And the things that I think I can handle, I'm messed up about that. See, what I need to know, Jesus said it this way. He said to His disciples, He said, without me, He didn't say you can do a few things, but without me you can't do this one and that one. And he said, without me ye can do nothing. And isn't it good to know tonight? Can you rejoice in this with me tonight? To know that he loves you and he's always loved you. And he loved you so much that he made heaven for you. And he loved you so much that he said, I'll be with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So that I can boldly say, I will not fear what men shall do to me. Because my God loves me. Listen. We are the children of the living God. Our elder brother is the Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't deserve that. We didn't earn that. We didn't merit that. We didn't ask for that. We were in as bad a shape or a worse shape than the wild Gadarene, who was in the tombs, living among the tombs, cutting himself with stones, and would have been continued to be there. The family and the loved ones of that man tried to help him, bound him in chains, and he broke those chains asunder, and he was running there in those tombs, and nobody was there to help him. There was only one who could help him, and he came through a storm on the sea and even calmed the storm for the purpose of going to where that man was so that those legion of demons could be cast out of him. And he had so much power that the demons were so weak that they couldn't do anything but what Jesus led them to do. And they had so much control over that man that he was exceeding fierce, and all he was an enemy of God and an enemy of God's children, and would never have been anything else other than that had it not been for God's grace. Except there was a four-dimensional love that loved him forever. And he's not going to leave him in the tombs. Because you know why? That's my child in the tombs. That legion is in my child. That legion is in a man that belongs to me. And one I love with an everlasting love. A love that had length that was everlasting. A love that had height that came down from the heights of glory. A love that had depths that came all the way to the tomb of a wild Gadarene and called him out. And when those devils recognize, listen, the devils know who Jesus is. Don't think they don't, because he's got more power than they do. And they'll never worship him in the sense that you and I will worship him. They'll never have that opportunity. But there'll be a day where every tongue and every knee is going to bow. And the devils know that. And when the Lord speaks to them, they have to listen. And as a matter of fact, they got to ask his permission to be able to do anything. And he suffers them to do what he's doing. Sometimes we got an idea, like John had an idea. Well, if God is all of that, why am I here? You ever get that idea? Why am I here anyway? Listen, God has his purpose. God has his reasons. God does what he does, and he has a mind that's higher than my mind, and thoughts that are higher than our thoughts. Aren't you thankful? Can we rejoice in that tonight? That we don't even need to know about all things, because our God holds all things in his hands. It's like you holding that little one there. You couldn't love it. Listen, the way God's got us, as much as you love her, there's a love that God has greater for every one of his children. And what would you do to hurt that little one? Not a thing. I'll tell you what, you defend it. You defend that child. And don't think God's love isn't like that. And if God allows us and suffers us to go through life with our stumping our toes and going through the life's problems, there are reasons that he does that. He's allowed me this week to see that even going through these trials, it's allowed me to see him brighter and clearer and see him working in my life. And if everything was going smooth and I'd be walking through my days like old Gary does sometimes, not even thinking about him, oh, thank God for the troubles and tribulations that we are suffered to go through here in time when it brings us closer to him. Isn't that true? Been praying a lot, ain't you, Sister Martha? I know you have. Praying a lot. I'll tell you what, when your neck hurts, you pray a lot. When your shoulders have hurt, you pray a lot. When your body's breaking down, you pray a lot. When you got problems that you don't know what to do, when your family has trouble, you pray a lot. When your dad and your mom go through things, you pray a lot. When your children face things, you're going to pray a lot. I'm not telling you tonight some idea or thought that you can just get out of all the problems and troubles of this world, because the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible tells us that a man that's born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. But he also told us that he is our peace. And it's peace that's real. Tonight I want you to know about a peace that's right there in the midst of the storm, just like Jesus was in the midst of the ship. And as long as He's on the ship, it doesn't matter where you're going, you're all right, because He's in control. He's in control. And though it may look like you're going down, that's not the way it is. When your children won't listen to you, it's not the way it is. When everything seems to be going the other direction, it's not the way it is. Listen, little child of God, you got a God who had a love for you the length of will never end, the height of. You'll never see how high it is. Listen, one day we're going to be carried out of this world above the stars. You look up there to see the stars. I don't know where heaven is, but I know it's, oh my, it's up. Because He's going to come. And when He comes, there's going to be there a voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And you and I are going to fly away. And we're not going to need a jet plane. We're not going to need anything to carry us out of here. And we won't have to worry about anything. We're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. All that's wrong with us is going to be made right. Can you rejoice in this with me tonight? To know that's a reality? Sometimes I'm living like I'm going to be here always. I'm not. I know someone's just here for a while. I'm just passing through. If it's the worst I have, if the worst I have is what I have from now on, it's just a vapor. It's only here for a little while, and it soon vanishes away. One day, we're going to be eternally with the Lord, and all's going to be well. As an old hymn that I hear some sing, and there are no coffins in heaven. There'll be no coffins in heaven. No tears are going to adorn the eye. There's not going to be any sad partings up there. We'll never take the parting hand. Every meeting, we end up taking the parting hand. We shake one another's hand and say, I love you and I hope to see you soon. And God be with you until we meet again. One day, we'll not have to take the parting hand anymore. We won't have to go out into that old world. We won't have to be faced with all the temptations that await us. But I want you to know, as you have faced the devil and all his temptations, just like Jesus spoke to that legion and gave them permission, He said, go out of him. He called them out of them and they asked permission to go into the swine. And I'll tell you, a devil never helps anything, even a swine. And there they went over into the sea and drowned. And there was, how many devils was it? You're talking about, somebody said we're outnumbered. When you're with the Lord, you're never outnumbered. 2,000 devils. Was that anything for the Lord? No. Yeah, I don't know how many. It's a legion. And one place I've read that said that a legion was right around 500 up to about 2,500. They had different ideas. 12, some of them said 1,200. I know there are 2,000 pigs, and there was enough devils to go in all 2,000 pigs, and they went over. And what happened is those hogs went over in the sea and drowned. But that man who was under that captivity, you know where he was when the Lord finished with this? He was sitting, and he was clothed. He was naked before, and he was running wild. He's sitting, and he's clothed, and he's in his right mind, and he's wanting to be with Jesus. Tonight, do you just need him? Do you want him to be with you? I do, don't you? I want him to be with me as a dad. I want him to be with me as a husband. I want him to be with me as I stand before God's children and try to feed a little lamb, a little sheep. Tonight, I just want to share with you what he's been to me. He's been my strength, has he not? And he's been my redeemer. He is my redeemer. Listen, he died for me, I believe, and trust on the cross of Calvary. And there he paid a sin debt that I might have peace. And he reconciled me to him. He didn't need to change, but I needed changing. And he changed me and he made me whole. And I was once lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And he said, rejoice in the Lord, always. And I believe he says always for a reason, because some days, you know, you just can easily, you got every reason, you're just rejoicing. God's little children ought to be rejoicing every day. Because every day you got blessings that you're loaded with. Every day he's good to you. Every day his blessings come down to you. Every day. If we just simply count our blessings, if we do what the Scripture says, and be reminded and remind one another and remind ourselves of the goodness and the mercy of the Lord, of how good He's been to us. Even in the hard times, we can't see when the hard times come because the good times so far outweigh them and the good news so far outweighs them. And when we go to thinking in our life, do you sometimes just start thinking the wrong things and your head just gets filled with all kinds of bad thoughts and all kinds of ideas, and the next thing you know, your imagination kind of runs wild, and you're really no good for anybody when you get like that. You know, just kind of, I need to be away from everybody. Well, not everybody. You need to go to your prayer closet, and I'm preaching to me, remember. I need to go to my prayer closet and get down on my knees, and that might be on a hike, on a trail. That might be where I can see His creation and hear it. It preaches to me. I tell you, I'll walk along and I'll see a little flower and it'll be over there, and I'll say, I'll feel like it's my flower that He put there for me. And I'll tell you, at that moment, it is my flower. And He did put it there for me. Somebody said, well, don't you think that makes you a little special? Listen, I'm not special in myself. I know what I deserve in myself. And I deserve the torments of the punishments of hell. But His grace and His mercy has spared me from that wrath. Jesus has already paid that for me. And because of that, He's blessed me and filled my life. Even the little things like a little flower got to taste of pawpaw. And y'all may say, what in the world is that? Walking along a trail and see a fruit I never saw before. Now, I didn't just reach down and grab it. I went home and Googled it, you know, to make sure I knew what it was. The next time I was going on a trail, Brother Jamie was with me. I know he thought I was crazy. I reached down and popped that thing open. I said, I've been waiting to do this, and taste it. It was pretty good. Pretty good. I didn't eat the whole thing because I wasn't that sure of my Googling. So I didn't eat it. I didn't spit it out, but I tasted it. And it tasted pretty good. And now I've done some more research. Next time, I'm in the park, so I can't take it out of there. But I tasted it. And I thought, you know, here, the work of God all around us, every day. Listen, I don't care whether you're walking in the woods or whether you're driving down the road or wherever you are, the work of Almighty God is all around you. Right there. The mighty work of God. All around us. Brethren, y'all are my brothers and sisters. Do you think we're here because we got it together? Do you think we're here because we have everything just right? God has led us in a way we would have never come. God has moved in our life just as it was impossible for the wild Gadarean to get himself out of the mess he was in. He didn't even show a want to get out of it. And when others tried to help him, they couldn't. You and I were just as much in a lost condition, even more so. We were not only in the tomb, we were walking among the dead. We were the dead. We were dead in trespasses and in sins. God's love, that everlasting love of God, the height and the breadth and the depth, came right down to the depths of where we were, took upon himself a body of flesh and was made like unto us, that he might lift us out of the place we were in. And he's already lifted us. We've already had a resurrection to some extent when he made us new creatures and we're born of his spirit. We're risen with him. We're born again. We're risen from the dead. But there's a resurrection that's going to come when he takes care of this whole body. And we're going to be body, soul, and spirit with him forever. Can you rejoice in this with me tonight? I hope you can. It'll make me... If you can't, I wish you would, because I could get, you know, we could get it. This is something we ought to be happy about. I could sit here tonight and say, where are the nine? Now Jesus asked, you know, there might be seeming like, where is? I'm thankful you are here. I'm thankful we have something to rejoice in and thank the Lord for, because it's more than we could ever thank him, and doesn't he deserve our very best tonight in praise and adoration towards him? Sure he does. And you know that in your heart, don't you? You know that in your heart. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That means I want to be thankful. Thankful as you're going into surgery that you got a God going with you. Thankful when you come out of surgery that you made it out. Somebody said, well, what if you didn't make it out? Well, we've known some who didn't. I'm going to tell you what, we got some things to rejoice in, because when they go, when they leave this world, there is a blessing to be delivered here in time. But I'm telling you, the greatest deliverance that a little child of God has in this world will come when Jesus sees that very last hour and that very last moment. When they close their eyes in death, they will be carried out of this world by the mighty hand of Almighty God, and they'll be in the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're enjoying that right now. Listen, there's a whole family that's both in heaven and earth, and they are secure. When does the love of God stop? And it never stops. God's love is eternal and everlasting. Even when I fail to love Him, He still loves me. Aren't you glad God doesn't just love you like you love Him? Because sometimes we love Him and sometimes we're not thinking about it as much as we ought to. Sometimes that principle of faith is in you, and the principle of love is in you, because He put it in the inner man. And that will never leave you. But sometimes we're not putting it on. Sometimes we're not walking in it. That's when we get our thoughts on other things. That's when doubts and fears take us. That's when we need to come back and remember. Listen, tonight simply rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He said, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. That's verse 5. That word moderation means your gentleness and your patience. And I'm not just making those words up. In the actual Greek that those in the Bible are translated in other places as gentle and patience. So when you see that word moderation, it's not just, you know, make sure you're eating right, or make sure you don't drink too much, or make sure you don't do this or do that. And we do know that's a principle taught in the Word of God. We're to be moderate in all things. We're not to go overboard in anything. We're not to love the world, the things that are in the world. It tells you a little watermelon is good, but you can't eat a half a watermelon every night. I found that out from Weight Watchers. Weight Watchers says watermelon is 0 points. And you know what that meant to me? I can eat all I want. Well, I found out when I got on the scales, you can get fat off watermelon. And you can gain weight off watermelon. If you eat enough of it, you got to eat a lot of it. But I tried it out. You can't eat as many grapes as you want, even though they're 0 points. Because if you eat too many of them, they have calories in them. And if you eat enough calories, you're going to gain weight. Your body's going to store that in the form of fat. And you, even though you got to eat a lot of them, you got to eat a whole lot more grapes than you do candy bars. And that's why they let you have grapes. They don't think you're going to eat as many as Gary did. But you see, I need to be moderate in all things. But that's not what this lesson is teaching. This is telling me to be kind and gentle. This is telling me to not get upset about everything. This is telling me to not lose my head, not lose my cool, not fall apart. This is telling me to be patient. I need this lesson. You might need this lesson. I know I need this lesson. I am to be moderate. That means when I hear something, don't go to the worst case scenario and lose my cool and do things that do more harm than they do help. Don't fall to pieces about it, but be patient and gentle, remembering God's in control. That's how you're going to do this. You said, I can't do that. It's not my nature. Have any of you got a nature like mine that automatically thinks the worst thing is going to happen and I got to fix it right now? I got to fix it. And so I go at it to fix it, and rather than fix it, I make it worse. And if it doesn't get better, then I sometimes get mad that it's not getting better, and I try to fix those who are not helping to getting it better, and I try to, instead of helping things, I make things worse. If you bring that kind of spirit into a church, which is called the spirit of a brawler, you bring that into a church, you will divide the flock. You will scatter the flock. You might say exactly what needs to be said, but if you say it as a brawler, it will cause harm to God's little children. You think of those preachers that have been in your life, meant the most to you, and have taught you the most. They've not been brawlers. They've been those humble, gentle, strong men that preach the word gently. And I don't mean they might have been loud or they might have been soft. I'm not talking about weakly. I'm saying powerful in the word, but they were gentle and they were patient. They didn't just say anything anytime when it popped in their head. You ever been guilty of that? I'm talking to me mainly, because I know I've been guilty of that. We're to be patient. Be ye moderate. Now, in what? In all things. Be unto all men. Let your moderation be known. That means I need to I need to let that light shine. Now, where does that come from? Remember, who's my strength? I want to remind you of that, because if we think we can do this on our own, I'm not giving you some of the ministers of the world will give you some self-help plan that if you'll follow this and that, you'll be healthy and wealthy and wise, and everything will be good, and you won't have any problems, and everything will be so smooth, and you can just smile all the time, and everything's okay. Listen, God's little children are supposed to weep at times, and there's some crying. I love an old Baptist church where there's some tears. If there are no tears, there are no hearts being moved. Sometimes the tears, are they not of joy that come out of our hearts? And sometimes they are sorrow. We sang that tonight, a mixture of joy and sorrow. I'm sorrowful that Jesus had to die for me. I'm sorrowful that nails had to be driven in His hands and in His feet for me. I'm sorry that I was a sinner and that caused Him to have to die. But I also weep in thanksgiving that He was willing to bear my sins to the tree of the cross so that they're never remembered against me anymore. And both of those things can cause me to weep. And I get a little worried when I can't weep. I get a little worried. I don't get a lot worried. Because I'll tell you, when you get this moderation right, you'll do some weeping. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Here, the Lord is at hand. Oh, if I could just keep that in my mind, that would help me so much. When I'm at church, the Lord's sitting right by me. He's not only on the outside looking in like everybody else is. He's on the inside. He knows what my head is going through my head. He knows where my mind is. He knows what's coming out of my mouth when I speak. He knows the meditation of my heart. That's why I believe the psalmist, knowing that, said, Lord, please let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto Thee. And you know when it's acceptable unto Him? It's when we're thinking about Jesus and talking about Jesus and the things of God. When we're talking about the things we talk about at church. That's why you feel so much better at church than you do other places. I hope you do. Some people say, well, I don't get anything out of church. Well, that's a frightening thought. I get a whole lot more out of church than I ever put in it. I get more out of the service of God, being able to be here and to hear from God's people. Just going down there to that meeting yesterday, and they used me in the morning, and the best thing about getting used in the morning is you got the whole afternoon that you can sit there and you don't have to worry about when they're going to stick you in there, and you can just sit there and feed. And I thought, boy, this makes me happy. And Brother Bobby was sitting there and said, you know, I reckon about the first three, and then there came, I think it was two more. It got to be a good long evening. And I knew we had a trip. But we had a good way on the way home, because I believe our hearts got stirred. And it was a blessing to hear this truth. Somebody said that would be slow torture. And if the Lord hadn't opened your eyes to it and your ears to it, it would be. But because He's allowed us by His grace, and I'm not patting ourselves on the back, to be able to understand this, you realize this is the most important thing going on the face of the earth right now. Just like that little flower was right there, I believe, on the trail for me. That little meeting house was right there for me and Brother Bobby yesterday, and we enjoyed that, and it's helped me today, even though it wasn't long. And I slipped right, even today, slipped right back. You know how quickly you can go from being up here to down there? Pretty fast. That's why you and I ought to remember, listen, the Lord's at hand. The Lord's at hand when the preacher's in the pulpit preaching and you feel so good. But the Lord is also at hand when you get that real bad news from somewhere and you go like, oh, what am I going to do? God is at hand. He hasn't left us. Is there not, as Elisha said, is there not a God in Israel that we have to go somewhere else for help? Do we not have the same God that Elijah had and Elisha had? Is He not our God today? And as this little church will get down on their knees and look to the Lord, is the Lord not the same God who kept it when it was constituted back in 1770 and has kept it down through the years? Has God changed? The Bible says He has not changed. His Word says He has not changed. And brethren, He has not changed. And so we are to be trusting in Him. And it's my responsibility tonight to remind you of that. Let us rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Be patient and gentle. And He said, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. That means He's here. So we can be careful for nothing. If I just say you don't worry about it, that doesn't help a thing too much. If I said Jesus is with you, don't worry about it. That's a whole lot, isn't it? The Lord is with you. I got a great big problem. We talked about the little Shunammite woman and what happened when she lost her child and what she was going to do at the death of that child. What possibly could allow her to say when she was asked, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child for her to say it is well? How could she say it was well when she had watched that little child die on her lap? How would that be possible? Because she had a faith and a God who made a promise unto her and gave her a child and had blessed her with a child, and she believed that He was able to raise that child back to life, and I also believe she was going to be settled if it had been His will to take the child. I know there was one brother that was. His name was Job, who said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I've often said it, if I had control of it, my grandmother would still be here today. I could go over to Mama Nez right now and tonight and eat a piece of pumpkin pie that she's got in the refrigerator saved for me like she always had. If it wasn't pumpkin, it was coconut cream or it was something good. And it never was made very good because she never made it just right. But if, you know, she'd always say that's not going to taste just right because I got something wrong in that. It was just what she said. I got some memories, don't I? I had a grandmama, blessed grandmama, meant a lot to me. But I also know if I had anything to do with it, she'd still be here. But what a mess she would be in. Listen, I'm not in control of that. The Lord giveth. And I believe at the time the Lord called her, I believe it was time for her to leave this world, and He took her home to be with Him. And I wasn't happy about that necessarily, but I was happy in another way, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And she wasn't suffering anymore. She didn't have any pains anymore. She didn't have to worry about the grandchildren, which she did all her life. She didn't have to worry about anything else. She is with the Lord. And I believe she knows all those little sisters that she never met here in this world. I believe they're having fellowship up there. I believe she didn't have to come up and say, who are you and who are you? I believe they knew one another instantaneously. And I believe, most importantly, they see the precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said, what's heaven going to be like? What is it going to be? We'll be with Christ and be satisfied. And didn't that settle it? If I can just see Him, if I can see Him, I can rejoice in that. And so when my loved ones leave the world, I can think about what little Sister Robin said. She said, you know, Brother Gary, I'm going to beat you there. She just seemed like she was going to be happy about that. She talked about going out of this world just like she was going to the mall with an excitement. And I believe she's with Him, don't you? I believe she's with Him. And I believe all those others are there and others we haven't met. I believe there's a little Shunammite woman up there. I believe there's a little boy that's up there. Listen, that was a promised child. That wasn't just any child. I believe Brother Jamie said, I think I can prove that little boy was a child of God. And I said, I don't know how you're going to do that. He said, God gave that boy. That boy didn't just come from nowhere. God was the one who said, this is your child. I'm giving you God's, you know, isn't God good? Like Brother Carol Newman said, all the time. Is God good all the time? Yeah. I'm so thankful to rejoice in that tonight. I know this might be scattered, but I'll tell you what, I'm thankful we have such a great God. It just keeps going and going. He says, the Lord is at hand. He said, be careful for nothing. That means when you and I get upset, remind me, dear companion, when I get upset, don't be careful for nothing. And that doesn't mean just don't worry. It means turn it over to the Lord. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Put it in the Lord's hands. And if it goes the way you think it, that you wanted it to go, be thankful that the Lord answered your prayers in that way. But if it goes some other way, remember, God hadn't left you. He hasn't changed. He's still there, and He had something better in mind for you than what you had for you. And all things work together for good. Let me get this straight now. The all things doesn't mean the sinful acts of man. It doesn't have the man's will, what man wants to do and all that. It's the things that God does for His children in our lives. Every one of those things work together for our good. Every one of them. And I believe particularly it's talking about the foreknowledge of God and the calling of God, the predestination of God and the calling of God and the justification of God and the glorification of God, which is talking about His salvation, what He did for us. Every one of those things work together for our good, but I'm telling you, all things that God does in our lives, every work of God works for our good. We got a good God. Well, rejoice in Him. Be thankful to Him. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. I'm going to just get to verse 6. So much for my plan. I really didn't have one until, you know, on the trail I had a good one. I had it laid out as I was walking along tonight. I wasn't on that trail. I was walking around the house tonight. But I just thought about this verse and it just sounded so good. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything. In everything. Here, in everything. In what? In everything. Little things? Yes. What isn't little in God's sight? Sometimes you say, I'm not going to take your little things to God. Did you too little? What is it you have so big that you think is going to be of Him? God is the one. There's not a sparrow that falls without Him. There's not a flower that's clothed without Him. And if He cares for the lilies and the sparrows, does He not also care for you? Read the Sermon on the Mount. He cares for His children. Special. Those of His people. He says, everything by what? Prayer? That's where we go. You can't pray too much. We've got to need to pray. Pray. By prayer and supplication, begging God. And this says, with thanksgiving, we are to thank Him. Remember to thank Him. We got so much to thank Him for. Our prayers ought to be filled with thanksgiving. Lord, thank Thee for this. Thank Thee for that. The more we think about to thank Him for, the less we'll be concerned about that which isn't we don't have. And most of the time, the things we don't have are things He's already granted us to have that He saw fit to the Lord gave and the Lord took away. And we should still be saying, blessed be the name of the Lord. And then God is so loving that He allows us this. He says, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, does God really care about what you think? Listen, he wouldn't have said, let your requests be made known. And not only that, He does care about what you think because He tells you what to think. I'm not going to get to it, but 8th verse is telling you what to think about. Somebody said, well, what I think about is my business. No, it isn't. If you're a little child of God, you belong to Him. And you're to think. What you do comes from your thoughts. And your thoughts is where the sin initiates and starts. Sin doesn't just start when your hands do it. Sin starts in the mind. That's why it's important what we think. And He tells us what to think. And if I get on that, we're going to be here a lot longer. But I want to. But anyway, you read it. I appreciate your kind attention. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you. And I know the things that you've heard tonight are things you've heard before, and I hope you'll hear them again. And I pray that the Lord will just bless us to keep them in our memories and in our thoughts so that as we live our life, we're not just putting in time. I believe this is what it means to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What it means is take the gospel and put it on your feet and wear it. That means you live what we believe. It doesn't just stay inside the church doors. We put it on and wear it. And when we do that, there's a peace which passes understanding that fills our life. And that peace has a name. His name is Jesus. He is our peace. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you. Sister, God bless you.